The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 65. McDonald's sells 75 hamburgers every second. 75, 150, 225.
1, 2, 3. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon.
Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that'll help you travel more and spend less. I'm your host, Travis Sherry, and manning the other side of the Skype connection, we pulled him away from his real work once again. Jason Moore, regular host of the equally as awesome Zero to Travel podcast, and a recurring host here on the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel podcast, doing podcast gluttony, and hopefully on into the future. Good morning, Jace.
Good morning. What real work are you referring to, Trav? If I
as I was saying that, I was wondering, this is a total lie, isn't it?
Speaking of gluttony, I'm having a blast with this podcast gluttony thing, because obviously I love podcasts, and gluttony is a great hobby of mine. This weekend, I've been staying at my dad's here outside of Philly, and my stepmom's been cooking up some mad foods, and I overate, I think, at every meal this weekend.
That is perfect, and you are ready to co-host this show, because today we are talking foods, which is the perfect topic for our month of podcast gluttony. And Jace, we're really doing it. We are in the middle of this podcast gluttony thing.
The definition of gluttony right here. It's all coming full circle.
Yeah, throughout the entire month of September, if you guys don't know what podcast gluttony is, we'll be releasing one episode every single weekday. Like I mentioned, we're in the middle of it right now if you're listening live. So you have some shows you can listen to that we've already recorded and released. You have some more coming out in the, you know, further on in September, 22 shows total throughout the month. And if you guys like it, let us know, because we're deciding, are we going to keep doing a show five times a week? Is it going to go back to once a week? So if you like it, let us know. You can shoot me an email, trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. Of course, you can show us some love by subscribing through iTunes or Stitcher or however you listen to it. You can also leave a review. If the feedback is positive, then we're going to keep doing it. Although Jace has already promised on other shows that we're going to keep doing it regardless of the feedback. So, you know.
I'm having too much fun. So we're talking foods today, right?
Yes. And one of my favorite things to do when I travel is eat.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's hands down one of the top reasons to travel, I think, is just to try different foods and everything. But I guess before we get into these foods, I have to ask you, what kind of eater were you as a kid? Because everybody's got their own kids. Do you remember just being a kid and you loved like gross foods? You'd buy like the worms. It was like marketed as worms, dirty worms in a can or something. And it was candy or something. Like, why do kids love gross foods like that? And what did you
eat? Wait, why are you saying just kids, Jace? I'm going to eat that for breakfast.
Well, that's that might be true.
What kind of eater was I? I just ate everything, like literally everything, almost everything, except vegetables.
I was except vegetables, which is an entire category of food. I was a picky eater, man. I couldn't eat anything. I mean, one time my parents made me eat some pork chops that my mom made because my dad said, no, he's not getting a special meal. And I threw them up all over my plate because I didn't like the consistency. What a baby.
The only thing that I can remember not liking the consistency with, and I still kind of don't, but I will eat it here and again, is asparagus. I don't really like the consistency of asparagus, but I do kind of like the taste now, especially if you lather it up in butter.
I don't like the smell of my pee after asparagus. That's a whole separate issue, though. Yeah.
What was funny, too, when you mentioned about kids and eating, the first thing that came to my mind, I don't know why this was, but those Little Debbie oatmeal pies, you know? My mom used to have them, she used to have the Little Debbie Star Crunches, and I remember I was only, like, allowed one a day or less. She tried to make us eat healthy, but I would always steal them. Like, I'd always steal them, like, hide in my room and stuff. Yeah, I was like, I was this fat little kid, and of course, I'm then stealing junk food. Like, probably not a good plan, Trav.
We both grew up on the East Coast. I don't know if Little Debbie's an East Coast thing, but that's so funny you say that, because I had a little Debbie brownie almost every day after school. I used to go into underneath the oven. My mom kept them in that little drawer and there was some junk food in there. And I'd go in and eat a little Debbie brownie almost every day. I don't see little Debbie around. Where did little Debbie go?
I don't know. Surprisingly, little Debbie is not on my weirdest foods list, although I'm sure it's all processed crap in there. But we are actually going to be talking about the 10 weirdest foods we've ever eaten. Each of us will be giving you five. You know, we have a few extras. I've got a few honorable mentions, as always, because it's hard to pare the list down. So if you want to join the discussion, you know, food and traveling, they go hand in hand. And we know that you've probably eaten some weird foods or you've seen some weird foods. So if you want to join the discussion, of course, you can tell us the weirdest foods you've eaten at extrapackofpeanuts.com/weird foods. But before we give our list, Jace, I have to ask you, did you keep all five of these things down when you ate them? This is survivor style, right? Does it count if you didn't keep it down?
Right. This is turning into a reality show gluttony episode. I did keep these down, and just to set a little tone for the episode, at least for my list, it wasn't all necessarily gross foods or foods that I didn't like the taste of. They were just maybe weird to me. You know what I mean? Some of them obviously will be pretty gross, but some of them were just kind of weird to me. And, you know, everybody's going to have their own list, and it's totally, obviously, pretty subjective, but
very completely subjective. And I do think as well, this, again, as we do these top 10 or top 15 or how many we give you these lists, it is subjective. We want to hear yours, as we mentioned. And it's also the experience around it, because eating can be an experience. And I've got a few honorable mentions here I'm going to hit real quick before we get into our list. One,
do
probably
it.
The, you know, I've eaten alligator, I've eaten kangaroo. I had that kind of as like the beginnings of like, is this on my list? And that didn't make it. And neither did these other two, because it wasn't really a weird food. But one of the funniest stories I've ever had, and this is actually a drink, so I'm breaking all the rules here, but I got to tell this story. We are in Okinawa, Japan. And that's why I host this show. I can do what I want, right? We're in Okinawa, exactly. Japan, and we go in and it's so hot, and we walk into this hostel and this lady takes us to the top kind of rec room. It's like, here's where you can relax. It was really beautiful, all wood, lots of hammocks, stuff like that. And I was so thirsty because we had flown there and then we had lugged our backpacks to this hostel and we didn't know where it was. And there's a huge jug over in the corner, and I take a cup and I fill it up, and it's this clear liquid. And so she walks out of the room for a second, and I'm like, man, I'm so thirsty. And I take this jug and I dump it into my mouth, like just gulp it. And what it is it's awamori, which is Okinawan sake. And I had thought it was water. So I took literally, we're talking probably 8 ounces. And as soon—
You're just pounding sake in the corner.
Exactly. As soon as I put it in my mouth, you know, I have like 8 ounces in my mouth, and she walks back in and she's like, oh, there's awamori right here. And like, I wanted, my first reaction was to spit it all out, but she walked in the second I was about to do that. And so I'm holding it in my mouth, and I'm like, I cannot take in 8 ounces of sake at once, or you know, I'm going to be like passing out within a minute here.
Right.
She walks in, she keeps talking. I'm literally holding it in my mouth. I finally had to swallow it. You know, I turned away so she couldn't see me. I swallowed it. It was probably one of the most disgusting things that's ever happened, because I don't love sake to begin with. And this is extra strong sake. And it was 8 ounces of it, which is about 8 times the amount you should take at once.
Yeah, I think there's certain things, if you keep them in your mouth long enough, they can get grosser and grosser the longer it stays in your mouth, then you want to get rid of it. So did you get pretty tipsy after that?
Dude, I remember, I don't really remember what happened after that. So
I assume
that it was not a good experience. I had another funny eating story in Japan, and a few of my weirdest foods will be from Japan, of course, but we were at this Enkai, and an Enkai is when all the teachers from a school, or if you work at a business, get together and have a huge all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink party for 2 hours. It's, you know, you're supposed to dress up really nice. It's at a really fancy place. But it's everyone from the principal of the school all the way down to like the janitors. Everyone's supposed to come to this. So of course I am the only gaijin, which is the only white person there. It's, you know, basically 100 Japanese people and me. So that's a whole nother story, because everyone wants me to drink with them. Like the whole thing is you're just supposed to drink excessively for 2 hours.
All 100 of them want to have an intimate moment with Trav, the American dude.
Yes, and they know the word chug is like the only English word they know. So they'll come and top you off,
boy. And
you'll like chug with one person. And there was literally a line, and they would wait to chug with me. So I'm doing 8 to 10 drinks for every one that someone else is doing. That we'll get into that story at some point. It's funny, but they also bring out these huge plates of food and you don't really know what's on it. I mean, they know what's on it. I don't know what's on it. And so I'm just taking, and it's family style. So you stick your chopsticks in and you just take a piece and you eat it. So I'm just like not really looking and take a piece of the food's really good. And I end up taking a huge hunk of ginger. Like we're talking like a meatball sized hunk almost. And I wasn't looking at what it was. I was like talking to someone in broken Japanese and I put it all in my mouth. And, you know, again, I was at this point where I can't spit it out because I'm in front of all
You always get to this point. How does this always end up?
I'm in front of all these people. So I literally had to swallow like a meatball-sized hunk of ginger all at once. This is probably like 8 beers deep, so you can imagine what my stomach was feeling like.
Yeah, that you might have seen that later, I'm imagining. We don't have to go into those details this early in the episode, but
no. So those are two funny Japanese stories. I know you've got an honorable mention as well that didn't make your list.
Yeah. Well, for my honorable mention, I kind of wanted to do sort of my grossest, worst meal. And there was actually a lot of pressure around this meal, which was a funny thing. And this was with my wife. And we went over to meet a family friend. And this is in Norway. She's Norwegian. So we were in Oslo and we trekked out to the burbs of Oslo. And this woman has known my wife since she was growing up. So little did I know that the entire meeting hinged on her either spending her life sabotaging our relationship if she didn't approve of me, or approving of me and giving her the go-ahead. She told me this actually at the dinner table. The dinner consisted of, it was a typical sort of Norwegian lunch breakfast thing where they put out a lot of meats and cold cuts and cheeses and stuff like that. But then she was pairing it with these nasty fishes that I don't know what they were. And then she served coffee with the meal. So we were drinking coffee and eating like this really hardcore, intense fish. It was so disgusting, man. Not only that,
you love coffee.
I love coffee. I'm drinking a cup right now, but oh man, it almost ruined me there. Thankfully, she approved, and then she told me later in the meal that if she didn't approve, she was going to spend the rest of her life making sure I didn't marry my wife. So I thought that was pretty funny and pretty gross, and a recent one. So that's my honorable mention.
Was she testing you with the fish and coffee? Like, was that a test, or was that just what they do?
Well, this could be a whole other subject within this podcast, I think. But there is that whole, okay, like you said, you're in front of people from that culture, in another culture. You're like, well, I don't want to offend them. And I want to make sure that I represent, you know, and I can eat the foods that they do and be a part of the culture and not ask for anything special, which I would never do, nor do I want. I want to participate in the cultures. That's why I travel, is to do that and to try these different foods and everything. But yeah, I think it was a little bit of definitely a feeling out testing situation, but I passed.
There you go. And now you're married. So all you had to do was drink some coffee and eat some nasty fish, man. That's not
gonna,
so bad.
Yeah, she wasn't going to stop us anyway. Come on. Who does she think she is? I hope she doesn't listen to this.
I have one more funny one that I just thought of too. Speaking of kind of marriage, we have a Thai friend who runs a Thai restaurant in Philadelphia, and her fiance runs a very, very good restaurant in the Philadelphia suburbs, one of the highest rated in the area. He's a, you know, very well-renowned chef. It's called the Bertrandville Cafe, and it's funny because we went there for the first time. It's pretty expensive. You know, we spent $75 a person, which might have been the most expensive meal me and Heather ever had, and he gave us this tasting menu, and we weren't supposed to get the tasting menu because they only do it once a month, but because we were there with his fiance and he knew us and he comes over for Christmas dinner, stuff like that, family friend. He gave us this tasting menu, and one of the things he had was pigtail wrapped in a steamed bun, which he had figured out. He goes to a lot of restaurants. He had been to a Chinese restaurant down in Philly. He saw these steamed buns and he saw this pigtail, and he came up with this idea to put it together, which isn't that weird of a thing to eat really, except that our friend Nui, who is Thai, when she saw him cooking it the night before, she had come home and they live like above their restaurant, right? And she saw him cooking it, and what she thought it was not pigtail, but another part of an anatomy. She said it looked exactly like something else. So she walks into the kitchen and she says, "I can't believe you're cooking this. You know, you're so weird," because he had cooked brain, I guess, the week before, and he does all these experimental things. Right. He didn't know what she was talking about. He was like, "Well, this isn't that weird." Anyway, they had like this 5-minute cultural conversation where neither of them was saying the word, right? So they both assumed different things. And then she told him, "Yeah, I think it's, you know, pig penis." And then he was like, no, it's not that. So I didn't eat that. I did eat pigtail. But another funny story around food and cultures and how, you know, different cultures see things differently. And it's just, you know, this miscommunication sometimes.
Was the tail curly? You know, you always think of a pigtail as like a curly Q thing.
It just tasted like meat. I mean, it was good. It was good meat. So, yeah.
I haven't tried that. I'll have to try it sometime.
Yeah. Some crazy experiences here. We're not even into our top five weirdest food. So let's get into that. Well, Jace, why don't you start us off? Give us your number five.
This isn't like an Indiana Jones, you know, moment where they bring out the sheep's brains and they take the heads off and then they cut the snake open and all the snakes come pouring out and all that stuff. Nothing that extreme. But I will start with my first food, which was crickets in Thailand. I ate crickets and, you know, they're big on the bugs in Southeast Asia. So again, not unusual to them, but definitely unusual to me. We went to this market. We went on this food tour, which I don't do a lot of tours because I'm an independent traveler, but I do like to do occasional tours. And one of the tours I like to do is a food tour because usually you go and you try a lot of different things that you wouldn't have known about, or you get the lay of the land on local dishes and stuff like that. So I do recommend food tours in certain cities. Some are better than others. But we went on this food tour and I saw the whole setup with all the insects and everything. And I'm like, ah, oh, I got to try one of these, you know? And they had scorpions and stuff like that. I was like, maybe I should start with the cricket, you know? So they had fried crickets and I turned to my group and there was like 10 or 15 of us. I'm thinking, oh, this is a group of adventurous backpackers. They're all going to be down with this. I said, hey, why don't we all get one of these insects and eat them together at the same time? And it was just like dead silence, man. Everybody just looked at me like I was super weird and like, no, we're not doing that. Like, okay, I guess I'm on my own. So I went and I bought a bag of crickets for 25 cents or whatever and proceeded to eat them. And I got to tell you, Trav, they were a little grassy. And I'm not saying that just to be funny, but they tasted grassy. That was the taste. I mean, I can't describe it any other way. Not my thing. Never bought any more insects, but that was my number one, crickets in Thailand, fried crickets in Thailand.
All right. Well, let me then jump mine to piggyback on this because this is on my list as well. So we might as well get it out of the way and talk about it here. Also in Thailand, I did a fried cricket. I also did a silkworm. I was only with Heather. Heather was like, there is no way I'm eating any of that. So, you know, they had the whole setup. We were in Chiang Mai. It's really cool. People who haven't been to Thailand, it's pretty neat because where we were, they had a huge, you know, a huge desk almost or table of 15 to 20 different fried insects. And so I decided on the cricket and the silkworm. I will tell you, the cricket, much better than the silkworm. Like the cricket didn't really have much taste to me. I wouldn't have eaten the whole rest of the bag, but if someone said eat another one, I would have. It was pretty crunchy and that was nice. The silkworm was very mealy, as you would imagine a silkworm would be. So silkworm, cricket, if you have to decide and you want to impress someone and you're like, well, I want the one that tastes better, definitely go for the cricket. I didn't mind it at all. Again, the bag of a cricket, probably the best deal you're ever going to get, 25 cents. Dude, it's like a whole meal's worth. So silkworm and cricket were my number five in Thailand as well. If anyone wants to see a video of that, I do have it on my site on the about page. You can actually watch me eat the cricket and see what it looks like.
Nice.
All right, step down to your number four here.
Sure. Number four, I was on a business dinner many years ago in Oklahoma City. And we were out with our bosses at the time. We were doing these event marketing tours and they flew in and decided to treat us to dinner. And our one boss was looking at the menu. And usually you go out to these types of dinners, they'll buy you, you know, you're out there on the road, you're working real hard. So they just want to treat you to a bunch of stuff. So you usually order a bunch of appetizers, whatever, it's on the company, you know? So they order a bunch of appetizers and she's like, oh, like you guys have to try these oysters. These oysters are amazing. So they were Rocky Mountain oysters or whatever they called them in Oklahoma. They might not have called them that, but if you're listening and you already know what I'm talking about, you know where this is going. So they come to the table and we all grab them and she's talking them up how good they are. And we didn't know at the time what they were. So we start eating them and they're almost like a meatball type of thing. I would say that maybe the term mealy as well. And she's just laughing and we're like, what? And then she tells us that they're bull testicles or whatever. They're fried bull testicles, which was a bit shocking because, again, it wasn't like I ordered it and knew what I was getting. It was one of those surprise weird food moments. That's my number four.
Well, that then is what made you move to Colorado for good, right? You're like, oh, I need more of those Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, yeah. I just couldn't get enough of that travel. That was actually the last time I ever had those. I don't know. I think it's a mental block. I don't know if it was good or bad, but something about being a guy and eating testicles, I'm sorry. We've already used the word testicles and penis like 3 or 4 times in this podcast. Hey. Who knew?
Well, I think you probably should have known that listening to a Weirdest Foods episode with two guys. I'm going to put my number 4 and number 3 together because I just thought of another one that's actually going to climb all the way up to number 1 for me. So I have to put 4 and 3 together. They're both from Japan, so it works. Again, breaking all my own rules here. But here's what it was. The first part of it was raw horse sushi. So in Japan, they eat horse somewhat. Okay. It's a delicacy, kind of. And there are these sushi places which are called Kaiten Sushi, which if anyone's ever been to Japan, this is probably one of the greatest things about Japan. It is conveyor belt sushi. We do have them here in America some, but it's not near as ubiquitous as it is in Japan. And it's about $1 a plate. So these different forms, it's not the best sushi in the world, but it's like fast food sushi. It's good enough. And these plates come around and you just pick off what you want, you know, when we first started going, we had no idea what anything was for like the first 7 times until we went with a Japanese person. So we're just trying everything. Well, I actually hadn't tried the horse sushi until I actually knew what it was. And that then was the reason I tried it, because I knew I'd do a podcast eventually and I could speak about it. So yeah, it's just it's a little thing of rice with a piece of raw horse on top of it. And it was chewy. It didn't have a ton of flavor. It was more for the experience than anything. But raw horse sushi, if you're in Japan, give it a try. It's not going to make you ill. Not going to make you ill like the next thing that I ate in Japan, which is tied to my number 4. And that is natto. And if people don't know what natto is, it is the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my mouth. So it's not number 1 because I don't know. The story behind my number 1 is better than this. But it is, people eat it all the time in Japan. You either love it or you hate it. So all the students, whenever we talk about natto, they would laugh because they'd always be like, "Do you like natto?" And I'd be like, "Ew, no, it's gross." You know, if I was teaching like disgusting or gross or any type of English word like that, we'd talk about natto. And then they'd all, you know, half the students would cheer because they hate natto. And then the other half would boo me because they love natto. And it's fermented soybeans that are very, very sticky. So it literally is like, it's like a stringy cheese. So you will take it out of the dish and it will, you know, it'll have a string that's like, you know, a foot long, and then you put it in your mouth and it's really hard to chew. So like people are always like doing that with their mouth during lunchtime. So you're in this room, everyone's eating lunch together. In a Japanese high school, you usually eat with all the teachers, and about half of them are eating this natto. It smells awful. It's disgusting. It's the worst thing I've ever tasted.
What does it smell like? Is it like a fermented smell, kind of?
But worse. Like, not like some stuff that ferments smells okay. I mean, it's that strong fermented smell, obviously. And I think because the taste is so bad, it conjures up all these like emotions or whatever, you know, in my stomach and head. It's foul, dude. It's disgusting. And most white people hate it. Although, you know, if you eat it enough, they say it's an acquired taste. I'm like, I don't want to break through the first 50 times of almost throwing up to acquire a taste of raw, fermented soybeans.
It sounds like it's still bothering you because it's early in the morning there and you're already getting physical body reactions just even talking about it. It also sounds like a heck of an icebreaker in Japan. If you just ask somebody that probably starts a whole conversation right there.
If you say the word natto, they will start laughing. Like if a white person says it, they will laugh because they know you're probably going to say you hate it. And if you say you like it, they're going to be just in shock. Like they'll probably fall over in shock.
That's great. I'm going to move into my number 3, which is a dish. It's a typical Portuguese dish. And since Brazil was a colony of Portugal, they've kind of adopted it as their national dish. And the name of the dish is feijoada. It's spelled F-E-I-J-O-A-D-A. So it's kind of a weird spelling, but it's pronounced feijoada. That's my Portuguese pronunciation anyway. And inherently, it's not that weird. I mean, it's a stew. It's got pork and beef, beans, veggies like tomatoes and carrots, and it's just a whole stew. But we were on a bike ride. I was down there with my buddy Corey. We were taking a bike ride, sort of a longer bike ride from a beach, and we were riding back and we saw this place. We were like, we got to go get the national dish. So we just pulled into this sort of little shacky type place off of the road that we were biking and ordered feijoada. And it looked like it had some big hunks of meat in there and stuff like that. And when I dipped my spoon in, I went, of course, for the biggest hunk of meat and pulled it out. And it wasn't a hunk of meat. It was actually just like a pig's foot, you know, with barely any meat on it. And I was like, well, I have to try this because but like the toenails there and everything. And it was, I don't know if it was just the way this place made it or whatever, but I started.
The toenail was on the foot.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was like hard in spots. Like it was, you couldn't make it out exactly because it was all in the stew and everything. It's like a darker brown type stew. But so I pulled it out and I kind of nibbled on the bone a little bit, just trying to scrap off some meat like a rat desperate for a little bit of meat. Cause I'm thinking I got this huge hunk of meat or whatever. And all I have is like this pig's hoof. And, you know, after that, I just, man, I wasn't into it at all. I had to dish the fish wad. I ate a couple spoonsful of beans and veggies around it. And then we were out of there, man.
Yeah, that is foul. I mean, I had a visceral reaction to that when you talked about toenails. Like, that just sounds disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Just piling it on top of the natto reactions.
Yeah, man. And here's the thing, guys. If you are in these countries and you're adventurous at all, you might as well give it a try. I mean, as long as something's not going to make you deathly sick, give it a try. It's worth it. I mean, you'll probably hate natto. You'll probably hate toenail. But you never, you know, it's a fun experience. My number three here, actually, we'll take it to something that's not as disgusting, but it's the experience around it. And it is, again, a food and a drink. So the food is just regular goat cheese and sheep cheese, so not weird at all. And the drink is rakia, which is basically like a moonshine from the Balkans. So we were in Kotor, Montenegro, me and Heather, and we were there for a day. And we are driven down, you know, from Croatia, which is north, right north of Montenegro. And we had been told by a friend of mine, Francis Tapon, to walk up this path, basically up this mountain. And it's an old fortification, and it's these old stone walls, and it had been there since like the 12th century. And now it's kind of like, well, I wouldn't say it's a tourist trap because it's in Montenegro. So there are no tourist traps in Montenegro. But there was a lady standing outside of where the wall began asking us to give her €2. So I think she was just standing there asking for €2. I don't think she had anything to do with the wall. Regardless, we gave her €2. We walk up.
Don't you love that? Just yeah. The random person collecting money for no reason.
Exactly. And they had like a folding table set up to like make it official. Very funny. So we walk up this wall. It's really, really neat. If anyone goes, it's a fabulous experience. One of the best days I've ever had traveling. So we're climbing up this mountain, up this wall. And my buddy Francis had said, okay, when you kind of get to the top, you want to look through the one window and out towards like the back behind the wall and go through the wall. And there's an old church back there. And I've slept back there multiple times and I've been in there out of the rain, this and that. And we look back and there's this beautiful old church and these amazing hills. And we're like, okay, well, let's go back there. And it started to rain. So we actually ran in and stayed out of the rain. And it was just a really cool experience. One of the most beautiful places I had ever been. And so we leave the church. We're like, well, I guess we should hike back and it's still raining. And then we see a sign that says, goat cheese, or actually said goat chess, like it was CHESSE or something, you know, like 100 meters. And we don't see anything. So we're like, well, let's just follow this path. So we start following it. Sure enough, there's a house back there. It's the only house around. It's overlooking Kotor, you know, we're way up in the mountains. And we weren't going to go until my wife said this to me. Heather knows how to goad me. She was like, I was like, man, we should go, but it's raining. And so we start walking back and she goes, you know, if your dad saw that sign, he'd go.
That's her trick.
And I don't know why that resonated with me so much. I just thought, what? Like, I'm adventurous. I like meeting new people. Why would my dad do it? Not me. So I'm like, I said, we're turning around. We're going. So we go to this house. A lady's walking out of the house. We thought she was the owner. She wasn't. Just some random neighbor, they called her, even though there was another house for miles. So we walk in and there's a lady laying on the couch. There's a guy sitting at a table and there's another guy sitting in a chair. And it's a one room house and then a tiny little kitchen off of it. And none of them speak a lick of English, like not a word of English. So we walk in and they're like telling us to sit down. And all this is done in gestures. And we just say we want to buy some cheese. And, you know, they have us sit down and there's just probably 100 wheels of cheese on their table, the only table in the house. And so they just start cutting off hunks of different cheese to give us. And it was really cool. And then he asked me if I want Rocky. And luckily I had Wikipedia'd for some reason Rocky like a day before, and I knew it was Balkan moonshine. So I said, sure. So he brought it out. He's pouring it for me and Heather and himself. And he's telling us, just take a little sip. You know, you're supposed to sip on it. Well, we cheers. And Heather takes the whole thing down in one shot. And this old Montenegrin just starts cracking up. He's like, whoa, oh, you know, like he's just saying stuff in Serbian Croat. And we don't understand anything other than he's basically saying like, wow, amazing, this and that. Well, long story short, we spent an hour and a half there. And it was one of the coolest cultural experiences I've ever had. Like, we're trying to tell them where we're going. Of course, they recognize the word Paris and Berlin and things like that. At one point, they brought their daughter on the phone to speak English with us. Then they brought out the family photo album and showed us like 30 wow. minutes worth of pictures.
Wow.
And they're giving us cheese. Of course, the whole time, this guy wants me to take, he keeps asking me if I want more rakia. And I'm like, sure, of course. And he doesn't want to take it with me. And I keep telling him, I'm only going to take it if he takes it with me. And so, you know, he does. And he keeps telling me that if he has any more shots, he's going to fall asleep. Like, he'll walk over to his bed and pretend he's laying down, which was really funny. So we're basically just playing charades for an hour and a half. So I took about 4 to 5 shots of Rocky in about an hour, was feeling pretty good. He actually went into his bed at one point and laid down because I guess he was that. But before that too, he brought us out this juice for Heather because she said she had a drive, and it was this freshly squeezed pomegranate juice. And then he showed us, you know, the pomegranates outside, and he was showing us how he made it. So just a really, really neat experience. And then I had to walk down the whole mountain, like after 5 shots of Rocky in the rain, and they were all worried about me, but we made it down. I stumbled a few times, but one of the coolest, neatest experiences I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Amazing story. I mean, there is something about verbal directions. Forget the Google Maps, forget all that stuff. When another traveler is telling you, you know, like Francis did, hey, you got to hike up here and then you got to look here and watch out for this rock. And then you're going to look through this window. And it's like, okay, you got to go after that. You know, I just find those to be the best experiences.
Yeah. And it was one of those experiences that I know if I ever bring anyone near that area, if I have anyone in Croatia in Dubrovnik, I'm going to say, we're going to drive the hour and a half down to Montenegro, to Koder. We're going to, you know, because it's a pretty town anyway. And we're going to go back to this place. Like, it's just a cool experience that I wouldn't have known about had we not taken the quote unquote risk of going to 100 meters for goat chez and stuff like that. It was just really cool.
Yeah, good on Heather for knowing how to poke and prod you at just the right times and what words to use. No,
yeah,
that's
sometimes
awesome.
It works out well, right?
Right, absolutely. The goat cheese, man. My number four is...
Number two. We'll go
number
we're
two.
Backwards.
Sorry, yeah, or I was going backwards, yeah. My number two, not quite so weird, actually very delicious, but weird in the sense of the time it came and everything like that. And I know I've been talking about getting married a lot, but that's because it just recently happened, and this is one of the things that's on the list, so people are probably tired of hearing it. I'm going to try to leave this as the last story for that for future podcasts. But speaking of hashtag podcast gluttony, this was a very gluttonous moment in our wedding because we had arranged for the people that hosted us at their sort of retreat. I don't even call it a resort. It was just like a nice little homey place on the lake at about 2 a.m. to bring out pizza for everybody. But the cool thing was, is they took some of the meat left over from these amazing cultural dishes, like family recipes they put together. This was not your typical spread of like spaghetti, fish, chicken, whatever. This was like all these crazy Norwegian dishes. And it was either meat from the forest right there or fish from the lake right there, right? So just,
wow.
I can't even begin to describe all of the dishes we had.
What type of meat was it from the forest? Like, what type of animals were you eating?
Well, so this is where it's going. So okay. at the end of the night, they took some of the leftover meat and we had reindeer and moose pizza, which
very cool.
I never thought I'd have moose pizza. So not so crazy in the sense that you can't order moose anywhere in the States, but just the moment and having it on pizza and just the randomness of, okay, you know, late night snack, moose pizza in northern Norway. It was quite a special meal.
How was it? Was and did oh. you have a difference between moose and reindeer? Is moose and reindeer the same thing?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's
so, like, did it taste different?
Yeah, it did. I mean, when it's blended in with pizza, it's differently. But actually, the dishes that we had at the wedding itself were completely different. I mean, the moose was more of a... What are they? I think they... It almost looked like prime rib, you know, the way it was sliced up. So it was cut up like that. And then reindeer, they had some reindeer meat cakes that they made. So there was some breading in there and spices and stuff like that. And it's just so delicious. A friend of mine in Boulder, Ivan, he has every year, I think this is a great idea, so steal it if you want to. He has an exotic meats barbecue. So instead of just having a barbecue party, he has an exotic meats barbecue and everybody has to bring over something weird or crazy. It doesn't have to be so crazy, but they'll bring over like deer or you know, venison or reindeer.
Which is deer.
Yeah, different reindeer. Things like that. Yeah. So that's a great way to try different meats too in your own country.
Yeah, I might have to steal that idea. That's a really, really neat idea. So did you eat the red nose of the reindeer? Is that just a really lame joke?
That's the juiciest part.
My number two, this was originally my number one, not because it's so, so weird, like you said, but because it was also so delicious. And if anyone wants to hear another podcast about some of the best food we've ever eaten, me and Heather did one a while back, the top 10 foods we had eaten. So you can listen to that if you want. You know, if you're grossed out by this and you think you're never going to eat again, go listen to that and you'll be craving this pizza in Rome and stuff like that. And this was actually on my list of best foods I've ever eaten, but it is pretty crazy. In Cambodia, in Siem Reap, there's a lot of weird things to eat in Siem Reap to begin with. But this one restaurant we went to, and we didn't know what we were going to order, and they brought out a menu, and one of the things just said frog. And I was like, okay, is this like some, is it frog, or is it some weird term for something else? I don't know what it would be a weird term for. Turns out it is frog. I ordered this frog in Cambodia, and I didn't know what to expect, and it was $1. So I'm like, okay, even if it comes out and it's really bad, you know, who cares? And they brought out on a plate, you know, a whole frog completely stretched out, like basically a grilled, like a, I guess it was pan grilled. I don't exactly know how they cooked it. It wasn't really deep fried, but it was fairly crispy. And it was a whole frog, like stretched out. So it was pretty big. I mean, we're talking, you know, maybe 7 or 8 inches, like stretched out from tip of the front little legs.
Where do
to
you
the back.
Start? And where do you start when you get served the whole frog?
I had no idea what to do. Another video of me eating a frog you can find on the website if you want to see that as well. It was fantastic. It was one of the best things I've ever eaten. And that is no joke. It's not because it was a frog and it was weird and it tasted okay. It was legitimately very, very good. You know, people eat frog legs. I had never done that. This was the whole frog and we ate the whole thing and it was awesome. And like I said, it was $1. So, you know, you could go and if you ate 3 frogs for dinner, I think you'd be very, very happy. So if you're in Cambodia in Siem Reap, the frog there is delicious. Definitely give it a try. Like seriously, one of the best things I've eaten. Also, you know, a crazy thing to eat. And it was weird because it was brought out and like it was the whole frog. It wasn't just frog legs.
Yeah, it's interesting. You were able to get past the mental block sometimes, you know, because it's kind of shocking right away. You know, a whole frog comes out. You're like, oh my gosh. But you were able to transcend that mental block and just dig right in and enjoy it.
I did. I just dug right in. Also, I said, Heather, film this. So I didn't want to look like too much of a pansy while she was filming. So I just picked it up and ate it.
You went right for it. Well, let's hop to the next one. Sorry, dude. I always have to do these stupid puns at least once, you know.
That's why I brought you on the show.
This is my number one. And again, it's breaking the format a little bit, but you can relate
what
to
format,
this.
Right? What
right,
format?
Exactly. What are we even talking about anymore? Now, you can relate to this because you actually talked about it in one of your other stories when you were eating the Japanese meal and you didn't exactly know what was on the buffet table and you didn't know sort of what you were eating. And my number one is various unknown meats worldwide. Because especially when you're in Asia, I'm pretty sure I am so sorry to say this, but I'm pretty sure man's best friend may have grazed my tongue and inner mouth at one point because we were trekking out into this village. I had ordered, they offered just a vegetarian or a meat option. They didn't say what. I think they might have said chicken, but it was very vague, you know, and it was just one of these villages where you're out in the middle of nowhere. So there's no stores, there's no nothing, you know, you can't go to the kiosk and buy something. whatever. So
right, you're not going to a vending machine and getting Twinkies and Fritos.
Yeah. So I decided to take a walk around the village, which was really, you know, straw huts, and just see how people lived and kind of explore it. And I came around the corner, probably a corner or some area of the village where nobody walks to, or they don't usually see any of the trekkers coming, probably where I wasn't supposed to be. And about four or five Thai guys looked up really quick, and they looked at me and kind of were giving me a funny look like, oh my gosh, he just caught us, or he's seeing us do this. And right out on the ground before them was a dog that they were just hacking up. And I'm pretty sure there may have been dog in that soup. I don't know. I didn't make the connection till later, actually. But then there are various soups in Vietnam and Cambodia and meals and different things where you just honestly, you don't know what you're eating sometimes. And that's okay. Like you said, it's all part of the adventure, right? So various unknown meats around the world is my number one weirdest foods.
That is awesome. Yes, there have probably been plenty of times I've eaten stuff. There have been plenty of times I've eaten stuff that I haven't known what it was. I will bring us back to frog one more time because I forgot. I actually thought, man, it's weird that some of the weirdest food I've eaten didn't come from China. And actually, I did eat a frog then for a second time. This Cambodia came first. I ate a frog in China. I knew I was eating it. We were actually out with a fellow who spoke Chinese. He ordered us these frogs, these spicy frogs, and they were also delicious. But man, they were so hot and spicy. I mean, they were just covered in, you know, like basically red peppers, whatever it was they put on it. And but also delicious. So China, yeah, didn't make my list of strangest foods, which is weird to me. But what's even funnier is that my number one, we're talking about all these crazy places, Montenegro, Japan, various places around the world that Jason's eaten weird stuff, Norway. And my number one comes in my home in Philadelphia. Actually, to be more specific, my parents' home. And so 1 year ago, I had started, my dad wanted me to come out and hunt with him. So I said, okay, I'm 30 years old. I've never hunted with you. This is an experience that I'd like to share. You know, you're getting older. Maybe we should do some father-son bonding things. So I went out with my dad for the very first time and hunted with him last year. I did not eat in the 4 days. I basically sat in the cold for a total of 30 hours or 40 hours, probably got frostbite at some point, fell asleep on logs many, many times, and did not even see a deer, which I can see running through my backyard at home. So we were out in like the middle of nowhere, PA. So I didn't even see anything. I didn't shoot anything. So if you guys aren't hunters and things like that, you know, don't crucify me because I didn't even kill anything. I didn't even shoot anything. But a few other people did get deers. And or deer, I guess it's deers, not plural. They got deer. And so we brought him back and I helped my dad actually go through the whole process. He's very adamant about doing it right, using all the parts of the deer, everything like that. We skinned the deer. We bled out the deer. We did all the stuff. And then, of course, like we packed the meat up ourselves. We cut up the deer ourselves, did everything. So it's a really cool experience, actually. If you're going to hunt, that you should probably do it that way. Well, then one day as we were getting done cutting up the deer and it was like our last day doing it, my dad's like, okay, so now we're going to eat the delicacy. I'm like, yeah, okay, what, like a venison steak, like a nice big steak here? No, what my dad was cooking up in our kitchen, in the kitchen that I grew up in, was fried deer testicles. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, he said, well, I'm breading them. So, you know, so he had like, he breaded them. He fried them up. He's like, these are great. You have to try one. Of course, you know, I'd been all over the world. I figured, well, I'm going to have to try it. So I did give fried deer testicles a chance. Now, as you said, they were not, it was the consistency, I think, that got me. It was the consistency and it was the idea around eating it. Like I did eat half of one and I just thought, I'm not digging this so much. I mean, we ate the heart too, and the heart was, I could stomach much easier than the deer testicle. So the heart was actually not that bad. Didn't love it. I forgot about that until just now. But the testicle itself, man, I mean, it was pretty gross. And my dad was making it like in our kitchen, where like I would probably make dinner later. I'd make a sandwich later,
right,
where he's cooking these fried deer testicles. So
just casually frying up.
Yeah,
a couple
my
testicles.
Dad's funny like that, and he likes them, so he ate like the other. You know, we had a few. I don't know. There might have been four or five or six of them. I guess they come in twos usually, so probably six. It was
that's nuts, man. That's nuts. All right,
completely
we'll stop.
Nuts. So, yeah, fried deer testicles is my number one, especially because of the fact that I traveled all over the world, and that was probably the grossest thing that I had eaten in terms of the experience. Whereas yeah. natto was the worst tasting thing I had ever eaten.
Brought it back home again. I love it. Deer testicles in the kitchen with pops.
That's it. You know, I wanted a father-son bonding moment, so I think that's what I got.
You definitely got that.
All right. Well, let's recap for people real quick. Let's go through your five. I'll go through my five just so people remember. And again, we urge you, like, give these a try. You know, we're talking about them. We're saying they're gross, but the reason we're talking about them is because they were a cool experience. So what were your top five, Jace?
Yeah, number five would be crickets in Thailand. Number four, Rocky Mountain oysters in Oklahoma. Of course, were bull and cow testicles. Number three, feijoada in Brazil because of the pig hoof. Number two, reindeer and moose pizza, which was awesome. And the number one, various unknown meats worldwide.
I love that our number two, we both said was delicious. So that's good. We grossed people out and then we said, well, at least this is good. My number five, silkworm and cricket in Thailand and Chiang Mai. Number four is raw horse sushi and natto in Japan. Number three, rakia, which is Balkan moonshine and goat cheese fresh from the table. In Montenegro. Number two, frog in Cambodia. Number one, fried deer testicles at 3402 Arcola Road, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. The finest fried deer testicles in the world.
Mwah! Delicious. Yeah. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. So food, we know, guys, for many people is a passion. Food and traveling, they go hand in hand. I know there are a lot of crazy people listening out there because they'd have to be crazy to be listening to this podcast, right, Chase?
Absolutely. And I promise for the next podcast we do together, we won't use the word testicles or penis at all.
Yeah, there you have it. Our solemn vow. We have eaten tons of crazy food. I know you guys have probably even eaten more crazy foods out there. And I'm always ready to try new and interesting things. So please, I'm begging you, let us know the top five crazy things you've eaten. Or if you haven't eaten anything crazy, but you know of some crazy stuff, leave us a comment on the show notes at extrapackofpeanuts.com/weirdfoods. Here is my vow to the people, Jace.
Lay it on me.
If someone leaves a comment of a crazy food and I am in the place that I can get it and they say, you know, you can get this in Vietnam or you can get this in Oklahoma or wherever it is. If I am in that place and I can get it, as long as it won't make me deathly sick, I will eat it and I will videotape it and I will put it up on the blog. So there you have it, guys. If you know of crazy foods, Jace, you're gonna give us a vow as well?
Well, trust me, if you want to see Travis's, as he said before, visceral reaction, which I can see, you guys are listening, so obviously this is a podcast, but trust me, it is worth the time to go and leave this comment to get him to do this, because just seeing him retch and get uncomfortable and start getting physically ill is entertaining.
Yeah, that's one thing. I will eat stuff, but I can't promise that I won't look weird eating the weird food. I do have quite the reaction. So extrapackofpeanuts.com/weirdfoods. Leave a comment. I promise you I will eat it wherever it is in the world. If I am there, I will videotape it. I will have Heather do the honors or whoever's with me, but probably Heather videotape it. So sorry, Heath, but you have to do more videotaping of me eating weird food. Guys, thanks so much for listening today. As Jason said, we promise we won't use penis and testicles too much in the other shows. What a fun show to record. Of course, thanks so much for the ongoing support of the podcast, of Podcast Gluttony, which is now really hitting its stride. If you like what we're doing, if you like the new format, let us know. You can subscribe iTunes, Stitcher, keep listening to the show. We see those download numbers, we check them, and we think, man, this is awesome. There are more and more people every day listening to it. And of course, you can leave a review on iTunes. Today's feature review comes from Laura in Seattle. So I assume this person is named Laura and they're in Seattle. So thank you, Laura in Seattle. She gives us 5 stars and she has the awesome title, Epop for the Win. She writes, great info, great interviews, and great podcasting style. I am a quote unquote pretty good traveler and packer, but there's so much information in each podcast, I feel like a novice. So Laura in Seattle, thank you so much. I don't know if you're a novice, crazy food eater, but if you are, branch on out. Have all these crazy foods that we've told you about.
Absolutely. Super nice of Laura. And I want to throw out one more challenge, Trav, just for the listeners here. Go eat a weird food this week. Whatever it is, wherever you are, next time you go out to eat, we all have our favorite places. We tend to get the same dishes a lot. I know I do it. I love the yellow curry at this one Thai spot in Boulder, Colorado. And it's hard to stray from those dishes, but even if it's just an appetizer or whatever, something you never tried, go eat a weird food. You can also put that at extrapackofpeanuts.com/weirdfoods. Let us know what weird foods you've eaten this week. And to wrap it all up, Trav, I just want to say thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, happy free travels.